नारायण नमस्कृत्यानरुञ्चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं चतुर्जय मुदीरयत् नश्च प्रयिष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवय भगवत उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण गुड मॉर्निंग टू एवरीवन ऑन द ज़ूम प्रोग्राम दिस मॉर्निंग सो आई हैव बीन आस्क्ड टू सर्व बाय प्रीचिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चैतन्यमिता आदि लीला चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 54 And because it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a mantra for that also, which I will sing briefly and then we'll start. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gora Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Text 54. So I'll say that three times, chant the mantra three times, and then whoever feels so inclined to repeat can do so at that time. Hare Krishna. Viteritam yad patiyetam na patiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam yathabhaso yathatama Viteritam yad patiyetam na patiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmano mayam Yatha bhaso yatha tama Viteritam yat pati yeta Na pati yeta chatmani Tad vidyat atmano mayam Yatha bhaso yatha tama Hare Krishna, you may repeat if you so want.
Viteritam yat pati yeta Na pratiyeta chatmani tadvityadatmano mayam yata basho yata tama.
Anyone else?
Rite ritam yata pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tatavitayat atmano mayam yata basho yata tama.
Right. Anyone else? Okay, so we'll do word for word now. Rite without atam value yat that which pratiyeta appears to be na not pratiyeta appears to be cha Certainly, Atmani in relation to me, Tat, that, Vidyat, you must know, Atmana, my, Mayam, illusory energy, Yata, just as, Abhasa, the reflection, Yata, just as, Tama, the darkness. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflections. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the absolute truth and its nature have been explained. One must also understand the relative truth to actually know the absolute. The relative truth, which is called Maya or material nature, is explained here. Maya has no independent existence. One who is less intelligent is captivated by the wonderful activities of Maya. But he does not understand that behind these activities is the direction of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10, it is said, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sa chara charam. The material nature is working and producing moving and non-moving beings only by the supervision of Krishna. The real nature of Maya, the illusory existence of the material manifestation, is clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is substance, and the relative truth depends upon its relationship with the absolute for its existence. Maya means energy. Therefore, the relative truth is explained to be the energy of the absolute truth. Since it is difficult to understand the distinction between the absolute and relative truth, an analogy can be given for clarification. The absolute truth can be compared to the sun, which is appreciated in terms of two relative truths, reflection and darkness. Darkness is the absence of sunshine, and reflection is a projection of sunlight into darkness. Neither darkness nor reflection has an independent existence. Darkness comes when the sunshine is blocked. For example, if one stands facing the sun, then his back will be in darkness. That's not true. Since darkness stands in the absence of the sun, it is therefore relative to the sun. The spiritual world is compared to the real sunshine, and the material world is compared to the dark regions where the sun is not visible. When the material manifestation appears very wonderful, this is due to a perverted reflection of the supreme sunshine, the absolute truth, as confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra. Whatever one can see here has its substance in the absolute. As darkness is situated far away from the sun, so the material world is also far away from the spiritual world. The Vedic literature directs us not to be captivated by the dark regions, tama, but to try to reach the shining regions of the absolute, yogi dhamma. The spiritual world is brightly illuminated, but the material world is wrapped in darkness. In the material world, sunshine, moonshine, or different kinds of artificial light are required to dispel darkness, especially at night, for by nature, the material world is dark. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has arranged for sunshine and moonshine. But in his abode, as described in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 6, there is no necessity for lighting by sunshine, moonshine, or electricity, because everything is self-effulgent. That which is relative, temporary, and far away from the absolute truth is called Maya, or ignorance. This illusion is exhibited in two ways, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. The inferior illusion is inert matter, and the superior illusion is a living entity. The living entities are called illusory in this context because they are implicated in the illusory structures and activities of the material world. Actually, the living entities are not illusory, for they are parts of the superior energy of the Supreme Lord and do not have to be covered by Maya if they do not want to be so. The actions of the living entities in the spiritual kingdom are not illusory. They are actual, eternal activities of liberated souls. Oma gena timirandasya gyana gena shilakaya chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantika. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha. Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tansajivam. Sa Advaitam Sa Avadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha. E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite. Tapta Kanchana Gurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari विषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छकापत्रूभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नम ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमाति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशिणे नमो महाबलन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नमने गुणचे नम नंदमाय विग्रहाय हिमाभ्यधिगच विशुन्दराय तस्मी महाप्रेम रास्पदाय चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते श्री चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते श्री चैतन्य चंद्राय नमो नमस्ते श्री चैतन्य चंद्राय Hare Krishna. So here's the English translation of the text again, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 1, text 54. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of the real light in the shadows, for in the light there are neither shadows nor reflections. Now, Hare Krishna, clearly this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead speaking. When the voice comes authoritatively, that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And fortunately, in the English language translation, another thing is made clear when we talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You will see that everything referring to him, even the pronouns, start with a capital letter. Me is capital M, me. My is capital M, Y. Like that. Only the Supreme Lord gets put in that position. Everybody else, small letters. But the Supreme Lord, always. So that's even to the English language, showing the reverence. The Srila Prabhupada, remember he translated that for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's writing, he's instructing that you write capital for Krishna. We write normally, even in Christianity and other places, well, there are lower gods, they're spelled with lowercase G-O-D. Then God himself, capital G-O-D. Now, that's it for Christianity, capital G-O-D. But in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada has added more to it. Even the pronouns, me, my, the deities, when you say the deities, they, capital T. Anyway, we won't get into English, but the fact is, reverence is given so much to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any form, whether himself, the deity form, all of that. So that's something to make note of. The Supreme Lord is the absolute truth. So he says, what appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy. The Lord is truth. So anything outside the Lord cannot be considered truth. Some ways of describing what is not true is illusory, illusion. They are all in the category of what's not real or what's not true. Falsehood, illusion, and for that matter, duplicity, lies, all of those, they are in the negative category. Okay, so the Lord says, what appears to be truth without me is my illusory energy. But what did he say, what appears to be truth? Well, because the material energy you can see, it looks real. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 1, Janmadhyaya Yasya Yata, when Srimad Bhagavatam started, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, then Janmadhyaya Yasya Yata. Anyway, I'm not going to go into too much detail about it. But the point of it is only through him. This is a translation of a part of Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Only to him, the Lord, does the material world appear factual, even though it is not. Same thing being said here. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is brought up again. But in the very first text of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's also there. It is through the Lord that the material world seems to be real, seems to be functioning. And actually, we can take it that way because there's even a time limit to it. There's time it appears for Mahavishnu, and there's a time that it goes back into Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu is certainly the Lord. Mahavishnu is not a Lucy, that's the Lord himself. So, even what's illusory, if we only think about it to be something outside the Lord or when the Lord doesn't have influence on it, then we are the ones that are wrong because everything is controlled by the Lord. And if we don't think that something is controlled by the Lord, then we are in Maya. And that's the illusory energy he's talking about. Because nothing, he says, nothing can exist without me. Whether it's subtle, whether it's gross, whether it's spiritual, it's all from the Lord. So now he describes the illusory energy. It's like a reflection of a real light. The real light is there, and the reflection is there. So the real light can have its reflection. It says the reflection of light in a shadow. So he takes it to another level. We know what a shadow is. We have shadow. So imagine real light reflected in a shadow. It's even hard to imagine that because for us, shadow is just dark. Our shadow behind us as a person, every time you see it, is dark. So it's like a reflection of light in the shadow. For in the light, there are neither shadows nor reflections. In other words, they're saying in one sense, this is a description of how illusory things are. It's hard to put your mind to it, right? How do you have a reflection in a shadow? And in light, there are no shadows. So this is all part of the illusion. So if you don't understand it, you are in the right place because it's not supposed to make sense. It's actually illusory. So if you accept it as it doesn't make sense, then you're fine. Don't think too hard into it because this is all illusory. He's just giving an example of what's impossible. Reflecting a light in a shadow. A shadow is dark. How can you reflect light in a shadow? Does it become a shadow anymore? Does it become dark anymore? Okay, it looks like it's come to light, but it's still a shadow. So it's a little bit hard to kind of put your mind to it. Don't worry about that. Maya, Krishna is describing what Maya is, basically. All right, and in the purport. So Srila Prabhupada brings up the previous verse and says the absolute truth and his nature have been explained. Well, what is the absolute truth? The absolute truth, in one word, is Krishna. Everything about Krishna is real and true. There cannot be anything untrue about Krishna. Absolute means everything about him is also him. Now, I try to wrap your mind around it. Krishna is like that. We, as we explained by my Guru some time back, we are persons, right? And we have things. We may have a house. We may have a shirt. We may have a toy. We may have this. Things that we have. We may have clothes. But Krishna, what he has is also him. So Krishna's clothes is Krishna. Krishna's flute is Krishna. Krishna's pastime is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's holy name is also Krishna. My name is not me. I'm called Parikshit, and my name is Parikshit Das, and then I'm one individual. So you cannot get Parikshit Das by calling Parikshit. This is me. I'm an individual. You can't connect me to my name. But Krishna's name is Krishna. Therefore, when we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, it's none different from like seeing the deity or meeting the Krishna in person. Or witnessing Krishna's pastimes, they're all the same. Now, I said, how is that possible? Well, of course, that's our situation. It's not possible for us to imagine it because we got to, the Prabhupada says, our teeny brains, because the teeny brains trying to imagine this. Our tiny brains cannot. We are similar to Krishna in quality only. But in quantity, he's huge and we are just infinitesimal. Infinitesimal is as small as it gets. That's what infinitesimal means. Parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't compare to him in any way. But by his mercy, we are also being created through him, right? So the parts and parcels are almost like, Sri Upanishad talks about. He's a supreme whole, and then we are parts also, but the parts are wholes in themselves, right? We are full individuals too. That's the way Krishna has created things. Now, so Krishna is incredible. And Maya is incredible in a different way. So he's describing, Srila Prabhupada says, in this previous verse, the absolute truth and his nature have been explained. So by the Lord's mercy and my Guru Maharaj and Parampara's guidance, we've described absolute truth a little bit. So now going on, one must also understand the relative truth to actually know the absolute truth. One must understand the relative truth to know the absolute truth. Sometimes one must understand the negative in order to appreciate the positive. Sometimes it's like that. Because sometimes you know the positive, but you don't know when it's like what it's like when some negative things occur. In other words, if there's a storm, you haven't experienced a storm before. All you know is rain. And you think the rain is nice. Somebody who's experienced a storm knows what rain can do. And that part we don't like so much. And therefore, a person that's experienced a storm, when he sees rain falling slowly, steadily, and then becomes more intense, and even more intense, they're going to begin to think, it looks like we're getting to a storm. But a person who hasn't experienced storm before wouldn't be able to tell. Even though it's raining, they go, oh, yes, rain, it's more rain. But the person who has experienced a storm will begin to prepare for the storm. Whereas a person who doesn't know will just sit back and say, well, it's just another rain. And next thing you know, his house is flooded. And he goes, what? Because they have no experience. Okay? So in that sense, an analogy, one must know that which is not absolute, which is relative, in order to appreciate the absolute. And the relative truth, which is called Maya or material nature, is explained here. So everything in the world is considered relative. And by the way, Einstein got it right. I have to bring his name. Einstein got it right because he also talked about the theory of relativity. His big theory is theory of relativity. Nothing is absolute in the material world. That one he got right. He doesn't understand the material world as much. I mean, I don't know, you know, whether he did Krishna consciousness. I doubt it. But, you know, still, in his calculations, he came to the conclusion that everything is relative. And then he came a little formula to, you know, to multiply, which I won't get into. Interesting. So there's relative truth, Maya. So in our terms, that which is not. That's what Maya explains. So Maya, through Maya, we think we're going to be happy in the material world. Maya makes us think that all the solutions that we need to make ourselves happy are present in the material world. And then the reality is we're suffering. Why? Because birth is difficult. Women who had a birth, they know. Women that go through pregnancy and then labor to have a child, they know how difficult it is. And then if you've seen a child born, which I have, you see the child also goes through hell to get out of the birth canal. The baby is much bigger than the birth canal and still has to be forced through, and the pressure of the air pushing. This is all explained, not in science. This is in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's explained in Krishna consciousness. Such difficulty. And that's birth. Death, well, we've seen people die and it's not fun. Even sudden death. In an accident, look what happens to the body. Or cancer, look what happens to the body. Not to mention the disturbances, the pain that the body gives. So death is difficult. Then between birth and death, as his papa described, is jara vyadi, old age and disease. Now, do I need to tell you about disease? When people are sick, dis-ease, not at ease. The physical body is not at ease. Suffering. Old age, well, if you're not there, you'll get there. The bones start breaking down. It's very, very, very difficult. We begin to experience a little bit of it now. But it gets worse. It gets worse. So this is the situation we're in. So Srila Prabhupada says, the scientists are trying to solve different things in this world by coming up with different gadgets. But the real problem in the material world is birth, death, old age, and disease. And they have not been able to solve that yet, and they won't be able to solve it. Now, some people may say, oh, but if you get sick, you go to the hospital, you can get better. Yeah, some of the time. But when sickness is going to lead to death, the hospital can't stop you then. Your final sickness, if the person is supposed to die from sickness, that sickness will continue all the way to death, and all the hospital can do is give you painkillers to make you comfortable, but they can't stop it. They cannot. Okay, so even material science now is only limited when it comes to disease. It can only do so much. So this place that we live now, the material world, is called Maya. It's not real in terms of giving you happiness, total happiness. The things that we see here are material things, true enough. But if we try to be happy through the material energy, we're going to be frustrated. Only those in illusion think that they are enjoying. Why? Because they drink and they think they're happy at the time that they're intoxicated. And you know what happens. In the end, the body gets affected, the liver gets affected, and the person gets a hangover. And worse still, if they're drunk, sometimes they talk about things that they would rather keep secret. It comes out of their mouth. All of this kind of thing. Now, who would want to go through that? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has told us, no intoxication, no meat eating, fish or eggs, no gambling, and no sex when you don't want a child, when you're not married. That's illicit. That is the way it's been described. If we obey these regulated principles, then we come to the human platform. The regulated principles themselves don't take you back to the spiritual world. You know what takes you back? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That one you don't stop, ever, until your last breath, you don't stop. And the regulated principles, if you obey them, then it brings you to the human platform, what we call the mode of goodness. Then you can live through this illusory energy, the material energy, but you are, and in this case, we are, because by the mercy of a spiritual master, we are now involved in Krishna consciousness. So we are not an illusion, even though we're in the material world, because we understand a number of things. One, this is not our home. We're not trying to stay here. We're trying to go back. For us, death does not mean we're in trouble. For us, death means our father, Krishna, has come disguised as death to take us back to the spiritual world. That's death for us. For a regular non-devotee, death means I'm going to lose everything that I worked hard for. And whether they like it or not, Sipapa says, Krishna comes and takes it all away. Actually, it doesn't belong to us in the first place. It's not difficult to prove it. The proof is, when we were born, what do we have? Baby, nothing. When we leave in this world, can we take anything with us? Death, nothing. But we still think that in between birth and death, that we own all these things until it gets taken away and then the reality hits us. We don't. What's the best you can do when you're dying? Make a will. Make a will. Why do you make a will? Because you're not going to get those things anymore when you're dead. That's why you seem to transfer to somebody you like and give a little bit to somebody you don't like. You know, I'm going to get into all of that. People put the emotions behind their will. The fact of the matter is, when a person dies and he says, okay, according to this will, this should be given to this and this should be given to this person and this and so on, maybe it will work out that way. If the attorney is strong enough, the attorney hired, But sometimes even, family members say, but I did so much and I did so much. Why come I got so little? And then they start fighting. But they may fight here, but does the person who is dead have any say in it? No. But he was the one who owned everything, though. It was his or hers in the first place. So that's all to tell you. We don't have control over anything. We just think we own things. So if your name is on your house, you're paying a mortgage, and that's all well and good. Just use the house to serve Krishna. That's the best thing, because you really don't own it. You never owned it and you never will. Everything that's written on paper is yours. Yeah, that's legal things in order to have to go on here so nobody comes to take your house. That's the material laws that has set it up that way. But everything is owned by Krishna. So you use everything for Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, do that for me. Does it mean a Christian is trying to take everything we have? No. It's actually the opposite. When we give more to Krishna, the extent to which we surrender by giving of ourselves to Krishna, he rewards accordingly. So if you surrender all, like it's called Atman Nibedanam, if you surrender all, then he also gives you all that you need. If you surrender half, he'll give you half of what you need. Now, you say, what's half? Well, you don't know what is half. Krishna determines what's half and what's a quarter and what's 1% and what's 100%. Give of yourself. That's all you need to do. Give of your hearts in everything that you do. So this is the first lesson to us. Those people who have been a little bit hesitant in giving of their hearts. If I've been hesitant of giving my heart, then I'm the one that's losing. Because Krishna won't give me much. If I give more of my heart, Krishna gives me more. And when Krishna gives, it's wonderful. Because Krishna gives in such a way that we don't even expect. Which means, it's called, my Guru Maharaj called the Krishna miracle. See, to us, we have to struggle to get some things done, to achieve, to work, to get paid, and so on. But Krishna owns everything. If he decides that this comes here, this comes to this person, he can do it easily. Either to, you know, it's any type of energies that he has, or multifarious energies. All kinds of things sometimes happen when we don't expect it. And it's a wonderful thing that happens. Those who have been serving from their hearts, they know this. Krishna rewards some things that we don't even expect. Then all of a sudden it's come. That's called the Krishna miracle, which means Guru and Krishna are pleased with the quality of service that we're giving. And Krishna gives back because he's a sentient being. You love, he loves back. You love, he loves back. The whole spiritual world operates like that, loving and loving back. And that is the place that we used to be and we've forgotten. And so Krishna, through Guru, is now teaching us how to love again. So Sri Papa says, Maya has no independent existence. Maya's boss is Krishna. Actually, nobody has independent existence, not just Maya only. People think that they have independent existence. And Sri Papa says, anyone who thinks they are independent, they are even more dependent. He says, independence, the lecture is given. Independence means more dependence. You say you're independent, the material energy is going to show you who really is the boss. If you say you're not dependent and you're not going to be with Krishna, then it's only the material energy that's there. It's either the spiritual energy, the superior energy, or the material energy. It's only light or darkness. If you choose to go to the material energy to serve in darkness, serve the material energy, well, then you're going to be in all kinds of trouble. But if you serve Krishna, then you're in the light. And for us, it's been made very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in all the services that you do, you constantly chant. That you never stop. In Kali Yuga, that's what takes you back to Godhead. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Keep that repeatedly on your lips. Or you should be hearing it through bhajans or kirtans. Or you should be whispering it, or you should be, this, it should be part of your life. It is important from the spiritual world. The spiritual world, they sing and they dance and they have a great time based on the same mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. It's from the spiritual world. It was important to us. But here, it is a spiritual mantra, and we are fortunate to have it in Kali Yuga, to take advantage of it. Otherwise, then we stay in Maya. Just like Sri Prabhupada is saying. So Sri Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10, he said, Maya dyakshena prakriti sujate sacharacharam. The material nature is working, producing, moving and non-moving beings by the supervision of Krishna. Moving beings would be like us, humans and birds, and, you know, fish and all those that move. And non-moving beings are like trees. And they stand in one spot. And by the way, that's a huge punishment. If you think about the trees, they also got life. They also got souls because they have consciousness. They are alive. But the situation the Papa says it's a very, very, very bad situation to be in. And he was not like remembering the time he was in school. He says, in my school time, when a student does something bad, the teacher says, stand up. Stand up in the corner. And you stand up maybe for about 5-10 minutes. And the student goes through so much anxiety, you know, your back is to the classroom, you can't see anybody, your face is against the wall. And you say, in my school time, too, a little bit of that was done. I remember. Mm-hmm. And so he says that little punishment. Now imagine a tree that is standing up for 5,000 years. Some of these trees last that long, the big trees. 5,000 years, you can't go anywhere. And the rain hits you, the cold hits you, the heat hits you, and birds come and do whatever they like with you. The woodpecker comes and bores a hole inside of you. Monkeys swing on you. I mean, you can't do anything. And is that a wonderful situation to be in? No, not at all. So there is real punishment in the non-moving things as well as the moving things. So the moving things, we know what sometimes we go through. We ourselves are examples of the, you know, troubles that we go through. But the non-moving things like the trees that we're talking about, they go through hell. It's hellish. Mm. So Shiva Prabhupada says, the real nature of Maya, the illusory experience of the material manifestation, is clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth, that's the real thing. Mm? The substance and the relative truth depends upon its relationship. The absolute truth is the standard, and the relative truth is like a reflection of the standard. Mm-hmm. So then he says, Maya means energy. Yes, everything is energy of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Krishna means God, and Hara means the energy of God. Everything is energy. Therefore, the relative truth, Prabhupada, is explained, says here, is explained to be the energy of the absolute truth. Since it is difficult to understand the distinction between the absolute and relative, then he gives analogy for clarification. So he compares the absolute truth to the sun, and is appreciated in two ways, the reflection of a sun and darkness. When the sun is not there, when the earth is spinning around, daytime, the sun is in one place, and then we get the sunlight. But when the earth spins so that where we are at the night is no longer where the sun is hitting us, the sun is still there. But the earth is turned away from the sun, and we call that night. Because the planet is dark in the first place. It has no light. It's when the sun hits it, then the daytime comes. Oh, yeah, there's light. But the light is from the sun. So this and other planets in the material world are dark planets by nature. The sun provides the energy for them, the light energy. And of course, we do a little bit of lighting here and bulbs. And what's the bulbs compared to the sun? That's not much light at all. A little bit for us would be convenient. That is from electricity. That's what Srila Prabhupada was talking about. So darkness is the absence of sunshine. And a reflection is a projection of sunlight into darkness. The reflection. So the sun is there. So the sunshine is what he's talking about. The sunshine, the projection of the sunlight into the darkness. So the darkness also gets dispelled, and now we can see. So that's what the sun does. It either gives us its reflection so we can see, and when it's not around, then it's dark. Reflection and darkness. Now, this can also be compared to us, our situation. There is something called the dark night of the soul. Very important situation that I know Maguma has discussed it sometime. The dark night of the soul. What does it mean? So this is a little bit different. Now we're talking about the soul itself. Ours. We get into certain situations where the material energy, Maya, has so challenged us that sometimes we begin to question, should I really continue with Krishna consciousness? Is this real for me? Now, not to even go far back, yesterday only, Balabhadra Prabhu talked about tests. You heard him. Talked about tests. He described so many things about tests. Actually, we know in school that tests are given so that we can graduate. If you do well, then you go to the next grade. It is actually for that reason that we're given tests. So if you don't do well, then that's indication that you didn't learn properly, so you have to repeat. So tests actually serve a purpose. But when tests are given in Krishna consciousness, Maya can sometimes make us think, is it really for you? And that's when you have to be careful. Because Krishna consciousness is good for everybody. But when Maya tests those who are devotees and makes them begin to think that maybe this is too much for me, this test is too much for me. By the way, Krishna never gives tests that's too much for anybody. He will be very, very non-loving. Okay, sometimes we feel that way. So what should we do? We should associate with devotees who are fixed up at that time. Devotee association is extremely important. If you try to do it by yourself, Maya is going to beat you because he's really, really good at it. It's going to convince you and you'll probably wind up falling, at least temporarily, not taking this process seriously anymore, not chanting anymore. So a dark night of a soul is when you are facing a test. When you're facing a test and now the test, you seem to be hearing messages that should I take Krishna consciousness seriously? Mm-hmm. And even now that you heard from Balabhadra Prabhu that there will be tests coming, and it's true. My Guru Maharaj said, everybody has a test with their name written on it, which means there's no getting around it. But the test is to help you to grow, though. For example, I gave one example, and then we'll go on. This is also from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, which very much relates to what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. Sometimes a test comes, and you say, how in the world am I even benefiting from this test? It's to teach me a lesson. I don't seem to have even learned any lesson from it. Some tests are like that. Some tests, you see the lessons. You're supposed to improve. Hmm? You improve a Krishna consciousness. So the test comes so that you see where you're wrong and you go on. But there are some tests that don't seem to relate to anything that you've done, right or wrong. Those tests are also very important. That's called the test of experience. And what we mean is, for example, and I'll give an extreme example. Somebody's got cancer. And they got healed from the cancer. They know what they went through at the time that they were sick. They know what it's going to be like. If you haven't experienced cancer, no matter what they tell you, you don't know what cancer feels like unless you go through it. Hmm? So that kind of person will be in a much better position to help someone else that comes down with the same type of cancer that they got. So imagine that someone, and I don't wish that on you, you've got that kind of disease. And then a physician is supposed to cure you. But that physician not only knows what to do, but they've been through cancer before. So now they understand the pain. A person who hasn't been through cancer, they may be a very good physician, but they don't know what you've been through. They don't understand that part. But a person who's been through it, they know. So sometimes Krishna gives that type of challenge in order to prepare you to assist somebody else later on. Because you've been through that pain. So now, later on, when you get older and somebody's younger or maybe a junior devotee and it expresses to you, you're going through that. Or maybe you were really contemplating committing suicide and Krishna saved you from it. And now somebody else telling you, I'm going through this problem years later and I'm also feeling like committing suicide. Well, you know what you felt like when you thought about dying, committing suicide. So you're in a much better position to understand their feelings and help them that way. So those kind of tests are also there, apart from a test that we talked about yesterday, that is to help you to improve. So this is all good in the end. Don't think that tests are to do something bad to you. Never give up. You never gave up on a test in school. Why would you give up on a test that will take you back to Godhead? You did the material test, not even ends at death. At death, it doesn't matter anymore. Your degrees don't matter anymore. But the test that can take you back to Godhead, why would you stop that? That's the best one for you. And that's the best one for me. So we should see a test, spiritual test, as an invitation to grow more so that we can, in fact, get back to the material world and escape this Maya that we're in. Hare Krishna. So we read it again, the text. What appears to be truth without me is certainly my illusory energy, for nothing can exist without me. It is like a reflection of a real light in the shadows. For in the light, there are neither shadows nor reflections. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much for a wonderful class.
Krishna's mercy.
I was having a few thoughts. Actually, one thought that came to my mind when you were talking initially about pain and you were talking about birth. I was reading, I didn't know this until, you know, I read it a few weeks ago. And generally they say that when a woman is going through labor, the pain is the breaking of 21 bones. And I could not imagine breaking my 21 bones right now, but somehow Krishna, as you said, you know, doesn't give us more than we can handle. So Krishna has really strengthened women to go through so much.
Let me understand this. You're talking about the pain is like the pain you get when 21 bones of your body are broken. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's similar. It's similar, comparable to when you're actually trying to give birth. The labor time, the pain that you go through is like.
Yeah.
Okay. So those of us who have been through it, you know, imagine 21 bones being broken. How would you feel like?
And
that's what a woman goes through.
Okay, yeah, and especially, you know, when women, you know, depending on long labor, short labor, and imagine, like, I had very long birth, both of my kids, but so I was imagining, wow, how Krishna gives us so much endurance and so much tolerance and so much whatever during the process of delivery, you know, when a new soul is being brought into this world, and how much he gives us the you know, the determination to really bear all that pain, you know, because that is pretty intense. When I read that, I can't even imagine. So Krishna has really, really made, you know, has his own handiworks, how he makes women so strong. And I wanted to just share that realization.
Yes,
Mother Gita.
Thank you very much. Can I comment a little bit? Just a little
yes,
bit.
Yes.
Gita? Yeah. If you don't mind, Mother Gita, please, if you could excuse me. So this is a wonderful analogy being given here. For those of us who in the male body this lifetime will never have a child, we have no idea that it can be like that. Yet, it is also a wonderful situation where a soul comes to the material world. So we need to make our birth, as women and men for that matter, because it's couples that, you know, make the one pregnant and then of course we get a baby later on. It has to count. It has to count spiritually. And Srila Prabhupada says, before the woman gets pregnant, the man and the woman both have to chant 50 rounds of japa before trying for a child. So that a child that is spiritual is going to come either go on with their spiritual quest, maybe the previous life, they weren't able to go back to Godhead and they're coming back to continue to go back to Godhead, or even someone that's coming to elevate the society spiritually will be born to a person like that. So it's very important for parents, if you don't have access to Gavadana Sanskara, which is a long thing, you know, it's also for birth, but not everybody can have that situation. Then you chant at least 50 rounds on the day that you're going to seed in order for the pregnancy to happen. I wanted to throw that in. Hare Krishna. All right, Mother Gita, so my apologies for holding you up. Could you please speak now? Hare Krishna.
No problem. Hare Krishna. Please accept my obeisances. I just wanted to put some humor into what Anasuya said.
Oh, wonderful.
So, you have gone through the pain of 42 bones breaking, right?
Oh, what? Oh yeah. Two children. 21 times
yes,
two. That was quick.
Mother Gita.
That was quick. 42. Wow. Okay.
Sorry,
I'm a husband.
Not,
I better keep quiet.
I know it's not funny when you're in pain, but I just thought I'll mention it. And also Krishna's blessing that women after childbirth, they forget that pain.
Yeah, as soon as the child comes, like, you know, it's well, I saw my first one. It's all changed from difficulty in a room that is cold in wintertime to a beautiful baby, and you know, everything just changed. Everyone was happy, and people were shedding even tears of joy. Anyway, that was the experience when Vina was born. Just wanted to throw that in. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Are there any questions, any takeaways that anyone would like to share any comment or clarification, please do raise your hand, and I.
There's also something in the chat we want to look at later on, which is interesting.
Yeah, I liked what Dear Krishna said. Independence equals to independence. he split that in and dependence. That was really, really innovative, Prabhu. Thank you.
Yeah,
I really like that. Independence.
In space dependence.
Yeah.
You are independence.
That was really, really nice. I really like that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
If there are no comments, no takeaways, no questions, we thank you all for joining us. Vancha Kapribhyascha Kripasindha Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vaishnav Thakur Ki Jai. Have a wonderful day, devotees. Oh, quick announcement. Tomorrow is Chandramali Swami's class. So he's still in UK. So it will be at 7 in the morning by Chandramali Swami. So please do mark your time, to join his class tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much. Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.